Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. I love you. Sounds kind of strange when you just throw it out there, doesn't it? Should it? I mean, we hear that phrase all the time, sometimes daily. I know when my mother speaks with me on the telephone, she always ends her conversation with, "I love you." When Anita's on the phone with the children, I hear her getting ready to hang up, and she always says, "I love you." It seems like it's the new thing here in the last maybe decade or so where two burly guys give each other a big hug and say, "I love you, man," or "I love you, bro." And I'll admit, when I walk through the room and I see my puppy sitting on the chair with her cute face, I'll walk by and give her a kiss on top of the head and say, "I love you." I mean, we say it all the time. So should it seem strange that I stand up here today and say, "I love you"? And I do love all of you sitting in this room and those that are watching out on the internet. So why should it make us cringe a little bit when I stand up here and say it? You know, Mr. Klett gave a message a few weeks ago, and he mentioned the union between the Akron and Canton Church. We all know it very well because of circumstances we had to join together. Now, most of us knew each other, but I think we'll admit it's a different dynamic when we have to be with each other every week and when we have to work together. But I think everybody in this room will admit it's been a great union. We've got to know new people more in depth, create new friendships, and really appreciate our friends and our brethren. And I'll go so far as to say that probably anybody in this room could stand up here today and look out over the audience and say, "I love you," and really mean it. At least I hope that's the case. So let's look at love today. What does it really mean to love? What can we do spiritually and physically to show our love and not just say, "I love you, man"? You know, social media sometimes has its good points. I was on Facebook the other day and was perusing the postings. And any of you that are on Facebook will admit you'll see dozens of cute postings on there. But one caught my eye. It was entitled, 10 Ways to Love. As I read on, I found that all 10 really made sense, both from a physical and a spiritual standpoint. So today I would like to share those with you because I love you. Now, in keeping with the intent of the Ten Commandments and Christ's message, when we look at these 10, we'll look at how we should love each other, and we'll also look at how we should love God. I'm going to be going through a lot of scriptures today, so you don't have to turn to all of them. You can jot them down if you want to. But if I can't reinforce what these 10 items are scripturally, then all they are is cute sayings. So come along with me. We'll look at 10 ways to love. The very first one, number one, listen without interrupting. How many of us in here have been at a funeral or some tragic event in somebody's life, and that person comes up, wraps their arms around us, maybe in tears, and starts expounding on their situation? Now, what's our natural reaction? We want to interject some magic, profound statement that will make everything better. And believe me, and I think you'll all agree, there probably is no such statement. That statement doesn't exist. You know, that person just wants to be held. They want to be heard. They want to unload. And they simply want to know that somebody cares. Proverbs 18, we'll look at verse 1 and 2. Proverbs 18, verse 1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A man that isolates himself. He doesn't care about anyone but himself. And verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own desire. Not wanting just to listen, but wanting to be heard. A fool has no delight in understanding, but expressing his own desire. What about God? When he responds to us from our prayers, do we just listen and take it to heart? Or at times do we interject with a, I'll call it the yabbits. Yeah, but. Do we have a predetermined thought on what his response will be? Or do we really listen without interrupting? Do we say, yes, God, I hear you, but here are my thoughts. John 5. Scripture we know well, John 5, verse 30. John 5, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And that's Christ speaking. You know, we ask for God's advice. Let's take that advice. Without interrupting. Number two on ways to love. Speak without accusing. You know, relationships have been ruined because somebody didn't take the time to get the full story before proceeding with a verbal assault. Accusations flying because of a knee-jerk reaction. Let's look at James 1. Again, scripture we know well, but reinforces what we're saying here today. James 1, we'll look at verse 19 and 20. James 1, verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, slow down. Get the full story. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction when something is said. When you're taking that time to count to 10, if you are, ask God for his intervention in what you're about to respond. What about God? When something happens, do we accuse God? Do we say, God, why did you let this happen? Or do we say, why me? Why do you let these things happen to the church? Why do you let evil exist? You know, we're throwing accusations at God as if he's not in control. Let's look at 2 Peter. You can turn here if you would, please. 2 Peter, and we're going to start in verse 4. And this is talking about doom for the false teachers. And we'll start in verse 4. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. I get out of that God's in control. He saw the wickedness that was on the earth. He was going to do something about it. But because of the righteous attitude that Noah had, that Lot had, he spared them. Verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or of the glorious ones. Verse 11, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. People that are doing wrong, not living right. God knows what's going on. Even the angels, whereas angels who are greater in power and might, even the angels did not accuse before God. Number 3, give without sparing. And we all know we can't give everything away. But on the other side of that coin, we don't have to be miserly. And we all know that giving doesn't only mean monetarily. And we can give of our heart. We can give of our time. We can give concern. We can give love. Proverbs 21. Remember, give without sparing. Proverbs 21, we'll look at verse 25 and 26. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. You know, it's kind of twofold in this. The righteous not only gives, but he does something. So he has something to give. If you're slothful, monetarily you don't have anything to give. And I'm assuming if you have that attitude, probably emotionally you don't have anything to give. But the righteous gives and does not spare. So how do we give to God, we've talked about this many times in the past, that has everything? And we know that tithes and offerings should be given, and they also should be from our heart and not just our duty. But you can also give God your time, and you should speak to God. He's your Father. Take what He has to say to heart. But really, what really can we give God? Turn over to Psalms 100. Psalms 100, again, a scripture we know well. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Can we ever run out of thanks for God? Of all the blessings that we have, we're here today, well fed, safe, sound, dressed in our fine clothes. God has blessed us all. And one thing we can continually give to God forever is our thanksgiving. Number 4, pray without ceasing. Do we ever get tired of praying for, let's say, for someone? We've prayed that we help them get rid of their addiction. We ask that God, would you please help curb their anger? And please help them not hold a grudge and forgive me. I'm sincere in my repentance. Please help them with their physical ailments. Only after time seeing no results. Do we give up on God? Do we say, God, I've come to you 97 times and you've not helped me out on this issue? Do we cease praying because nothing is happening? Colossians 1. If you would like to turn there. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, we'll start out in verse 9. Now, this is Paul talking to the brethren in Colossae. And these brethren pretty much had it. They had it to heart. They knew what they were doing. They accepted God and did the right thing. In verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do not cease to pray for you. You know, Paul could have said, hey, you guys are cool. You got it. I don't need to pray for you. But that's not what he did. He continued to pray for them. Verse 10. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. You know, I think Paul was astute enough to know that yes, these brethren were sincere. But you know what? He wouldn't have mentioned that they have patience, long-suffering, if he knew that trials probably would not creep in at some time. He wanted them to know that they should not give up, to continue in this great commitment that they had, to continue their relationship with God. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Again, we look at giving thanks to the Father. We go back to number 3, give without sparing, continually giving thanks. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We're speaking about Christ. For by him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. You know, when we're thanking God and praying, I mean, this is pretty much, we can't forget this. All that Christ has done for us. That's something we should be thankful for every day. We would not have an opportunity for life without Christ's sacrifice. And when we pray without ceasing, that's something we can be thankful for every day. Number five, answer without arguing. Okay, husband and wives, how about this? Isn't it human nature to have our voice heard? To have our thoughts and our ideas validated? Perhaps we're wrong. Perhaps the other person's conception, we have to think of this from time to time, is based on past experience, past emotional or feelings from the past. Whatever the reason, we're not always going to agree on all things. We should have a conversation, not an argument. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Again, just a short scripture that we've heard many times. Proverbs 17, 1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting and strife. Now, isn't that the truth? I know personally I would much rather live in a peaceful environment and have maybe a little than have all the worldly things that I would want and be living in strife. Very profound statement. Well, how about God? Do we become upset because God's answer to our prayers are not what we thought? Again, we have a conversation with God. And we plead our case without resentment. You know, God knows every hair on our head and what is good for us. And we should have that conversation. God can change his mind. Look at the stories we discussed earlier with Lot, with Moses. Have that conversation with God. A conversation, not an argument. Number six, share without pretending. You know, we should do what we do, not out of duty, but because of love and edification for others. Do we grudgingly share or help and carry resentment in our heart? 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 6 through 8. Again, scriptures we know well. And isn't it amazing? Over the years, when we looked at these scriptures, if we had paid heed to them, they all are about being able to love and cherish other people. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we'll stop there. We've read that scripture many times. And it goes back to point six. Share without pretending. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. What do you share with God? You can share your time, your monetary blessings, again, your thankfulness through prayer. You can also share his message with others. But as we do it, we need to be sincere. We need to do it out of our heart and not out of duty. Number 7, enjoy without complaint. I'm going to sum up both humanly and godly interaction in one scripture. 2 Philippians 2. Yeah, if you're looking for 2 Philippians, good luck. Philippians 2. Nope, it didn't automatically appear in here. There is no 2 Philippians. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18. Again, enjoy without complaint. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and dispute. You know, I'm going to stop there for a second. We should enjoy doing the things we do, both in the world and in the church. And unfortunately, and I know a lot of you have heard it from those that have left and gone back out into the world, how much the law was a burden to them. And where are things at today? Enjoy what we have, what God gives us. Verse 14, again, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am poured out as a drink offering on your sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. You know, Paul had a lot of, it wasn't easy what Paul did. Traveling about, we know probably getting ridiculed, probably being hungry and all the problems he had. But he says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Number 8, trust without wavering. If we truly love someone, we have to trust what they're doing. You know, maybe it may not seem right, and maybe it's not right. But if we truly trust them, we trust that they are trying to do the right thing, and we'll wait on the outcome. Now, there's caveats to that. We have to know that it is right in God's eyes, that it's a godly thing they're doing. But we have to trust without wavering. 1 Corinthians 13. Again, just a short one. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. This is talking about love. That's our topic today. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. If we have love, we'll trust without wavering. You know, we look around every day at what's going on in this world. Do we really trust God that he knows what he's doing? Do we not waver knowing that God is in control. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Again, one we know well. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, we look around and we may not understand what's going on. I know we don't agree with what's going on. But we have to trust that God is in control, that He knows what's going on, and work it out for the best. Number 9, forgive without punishing. I know of all the human interactions, sometimes this might be the hardest, and the whole sermons have been given on this. But you know, if we are willing and we want to emulate our Creator, we must be willing to do this. God is the author of forgiveness. If we truly love someone, this should be our goal. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. We'll read verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Love and forgiveness. You know, when we do that, we will live in peace. We will emulate Christ, and we'll be doing the right things and have peace in our lives. Do we ever try to punish God? Forgive without punishing. We feel maybe He hasn't answered us properly or let something happen in our lives. You know, I said earlier, God knows every hair on our head. He's created everything. His true nature is love, love for us, and He wants us to be part of His family. I'm sure we agree that we don't have to forgive God for anything. You know, but there are those that aren't with us, that turn their backs on God. Maybe they felt they were going to punish God by turning away. And I guess I have to ask the question, who is really being hurt? The final item, promise without forgetting. Now, this one really hit home to me. Man, am I full of good intentions? My heart is in the right place, and I want to help. But sometimes my promises are followed by a whoops. I forgot. I had already committed to this. You know, this day has been more taxing than I thought, and I'm really tired. You know, they'll understand. Turn with me to Proverbs 13. We're getting towards the end here. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When somebody is looking forward to your help, when you've made that promise and it doesn't happen, It can make the heart sick. We really have to be concerned when we make our promises and not forget and follow through. You know, God feels the same way. He is our Father. We all know when we follow through with our commitments, He's happy. But when we forget, God does grieve. Let's go way back to Genesis. Genesis 6, verse 6. Genesis 6, and we'll start in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I have to think of how the way God felt. Here's God that made creation. He created everything for us. He created us in His image. Gave us the opportunity, and if we would follow Him, we would have a good life. Gave us the opportunity of eternal life. And the people forgot. They didn't follow Him. They turned to evil. I imagine God was truly grieved in His heart. You know, we looked at 10 ways to really love. We're going to conclude with one final scripture. And I think we can kind of... All 10 items will probably be addressed in this one final scripture. We were over there earlier. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians. 13. We'll start out in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Very familiar. If any of us have been to a wedding, these scriptures were probably read. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. The clanging brass, sounding brass, clanging cymbal isn't real pleasant. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Let's stop there for a second. If love is kind, do we listen without interrupting? Do we speak without accusing? Do we answer without arguing? Do we enjoy without complaint? Do we forgive without punishing? You know, so much is encompassed in that one word. Love suffers long and is kind. Continue on. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Let's stop there for a minute. Love does not seek its own. If we truly love someone, do we give without sparing? Do we share without pretending? Do we promise without forgetting? Again, back in 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If we have love and we have that patience and the endurance, we pray without ceasing. We trust without wavering. I've just covered all 10 in these passages. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Chapter 8, love never fails. I love you.